Conservation groups and their members are normally the very people who push for things like stream restoration. But several groups and individuals just asked the Trinity River Restoration Program to stop its channel rehabilitation efforts until those can be reviewed. The Trinity is the major tributary to the Klamath River on the California side. The complaints about the restoration work come from a coalition of 21 groups and individuals. The coalition is led by CWIN, the California Water Impact Network. CWIN's Tom Stokely is one of our guests on The Exchange. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
We also have with us Gary Graham Hughes, who's with the Environmental Protection Information Center, which goes by the much easier moniker of EPIC. Gary, thank you for joining us.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for having me on, and thanks to all the listeners of the Jefferson Exchange for tuning in this morning.
So, Tom, let's start with you, because this can get very technical and specific. Can you give us the broad background on the Trinity Restoration?
Sure. The Trinity River was dammed by the Bureau of Reclamation back in the late 50s and early 60s to send water down to the western San Joaquin Valley. There was a clause in the original 1955 legislation that directed the Interior Secretary to preserve and propagate the fisheries, and as a result of that, as well as subsequent federal legislation, in 2000, former Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt and the chairman of the Hoopa Valley Tribe signed what's known as the Trinity Record of Decision. It's a plan to restore the salmon and steelhead fisheries of the Trinity River, which is the largest tributary of the Klamath River. It included higher flows, spawning gravel placement, watershed restoration, adaptive management, and what we're talking about here is what they call the channel rehabilitation phase. The Trinity River, after being dammed for so many years and having low flows, developed these riparian berms on the edge of the river that sort of act like levees, and when the flows go up, it increases the velocities and it provides very little habitat for juvenile salmon and steelhead, which are not very good swimmers. So the project has a plan to create approximately 45 of these channel rehabilitation sites along the river. They consist of bringing in heavy equipment and moving hundreds of thousands of cubic yards of sand and gravel and rocks, removing riparian vegetation, and basically trying to make a more of a V-shaped channel to improve the habitat for the young fish. The problem is that, at least according to a draft report by the Restoration Program Science Advisory Board, these projects are not creating the desired habitat, and also the design of them has veered significantly from what was originally envisioned in the 2000 Record of Decision. So we would like to see the program take a break on these projects and instead spend their money on working in the watersheds, which is also part of the Record of Decision, and also replacing a bridge at Bucktail, which is being undermined by the higher flows.
So the Record of Decision included the watershed projects and the channel rehabilitation, but they've been focusing on the channel rehabilitation primarily?
Yes, that's correct. The watershed work was supposed to be about $2 million a year, but I think this year they got about $600,000, which is the most they've ever had for watershed work. So they've been, in our opinion, neglecting the watersheds, and we were happy to let them do the work in the main stem if it proved to work out, but so far it hasn't, and we'd like to see him take a break.
Just so people understand, the Record of Decision, I mean, I know Bruce Babbitt was famous as Interior Secretary for standing on, well, he took a sledgehammer to a dam in downtown Medford, for example. No dams were actually taken off the Trinity, though, were they?
No, that's correct. The idea was is that you couldn't release enough water for the river to naturally reshape itself, so the idea was to remove these berms mechanically and then let the river take over after that.
Gary Graham Hughes at EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center. What information do we have about how far fish runs have fallen, if they have fallen, since the damming of the Trinity?
I mean, clearly the impacts of the construction of the dams in the early 60s on the Trinity River were phenomenal. I mean, 100 miles of habitat were lost. And there have been a lot of efforts to use the operations of the Trinity River fish hatchery in order to make up, as it were, for all this lost habitat. So this ongoing diversion of water as well from the Trinity River to the Central Valley, we're talking about 50% of the flow of the river that is
exported out of the basin, in other words.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And those are really ongoing concerns. And when we take a look at what's happened over the last decades in the context of this unprecedented drought that is occurring right now, we are pretty firm in our request that at the very least, these upcoming main channel projects be given the hard look that the National Environmental Policy Act requires. That is our request, is that we're not even saying, hey, stop, don't do this. We're saying, please do a full environmental impact study around these projects in order that the public can be engaged and that we can do a full assessment of exactly what these projects may or may not accomplish in the river.
But the fact that there is a record of decision dating back to 2000 indicates that there was some NEPA activity already, because it requires either an environmental impact statement or an environmental assessment, correct?
Yes, it's true. But and they continue to do NEPA, but in the more streamlined version of an environmental assessment. So we would like to see a more involved, hard look taken at these projects in order that we can measure what their success has been, and then also what Tom is saying about the opportunities for investing in restoration in the tributaries is really important, as well, you know, taking into context again the drought conditions that we're facing. This may be a very good time to actually give the main channel a break, as it were, from restoration projects.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Gary Graham Hughes from EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center, and Tom Stokely from CWIN, the California Water Impact Network, about challenges to the Trinity River Restoration Program, specifically to its channel rehabilitation efforts. Join us here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Tom Stokely, were benchmarks for success in things like restoration of fish run numbers, anything like that, laid out at the time the record of decision was put in place in 2000?
Actually, the returning fish number goals for the Trinity River Restoration Program were laid out in the early 80s, and they've continued to this time. Essentially, it's to restore the runs below the dams with natural fish production, fish spawning in the gravel, and for the areas upstream of the dam, that portion of the runs would be replaced by hatchery production. What we see in the Trinity River Basin is that the hatchery fish are by far dominant, even though the goals call for the natural produced fish to be dominant. So we have not seen the program meet the goals yet. Obviously, it's going to take many years, and these things don't just happen overnight. But this last year, they were predicting a very large run of adult Chinook salmon, and it did not materialize anywhere in the Klamath Trinity Basin, to the best of my knowledge. But I think the Trinity had some of the poorest returns.
You mentioned a Science Advisory Board report. Has that been released to the public yet?
No, the Science Advisory Report is a draft report to the restoration program, and it has not been released to the public. I've certainly come under some criticism for using that report in our comments on these environmental projects. The problem that I saw was that the conclusions of the Science Advisory Board were vastly different than the rosy conclusions in the environmental document. The environmental document basically said that there were 25 significant environmental impacts, from turbidity to damages to salmon and steelhead habitat, things like that, and many of these impacts were essentially justified on the grounds that the river was being made better, but the science report does not corroborate that claim. So we felt compelled to cite that report in our comment letter.
Gary Graham Hughes, have the channel rehabilitation projects hurt, or have they just not helped enough?
Well, it seems that looking at the draft report, that the real issues, they just haven't helped enough. And there may be a real need to take a moment to see whether they have been effective in meeting the habitat restoration goals that they ostensibly were meant to achieve. Again, what we're facing right now as well is the combination of low flows from a controlled river, a dammed river, and compounded with the fact now that we're facing unprecedented drought. So at this point in time, we have no indications when the river could be a recipient of more normal flows again. The reservoir is drawn down. There's very little precipitation on the horizon. Anyone who knows the Trinity Alps knows that it's a mountain range that is bone dry at the moment, and we're all used to stomping around up there in the snow. So conditions are also such. This is what we would call significant new information that we think should be included in making any decisions as to how environmental review of proposed projects would continue.
So, Tom Stokely, are you saying that this increases the urgency for holding off on the channel rehabilitation projects?
Yes. What we're looking at, if this drought continues, is the potential actually for the main stem of the Trinity River to dry up. Trinity Reservoir is quite low right now, and because of the way the Bureau of Reclamation operates it, we could see it go dry literally within a year. And we think that it's imperative that there be work in the tributaries and the watersheds as a refuge for fish if the main stem becomes inhospitable.
Tom, what is the form of the request you're making then to stop the channel rehabilitation? Does this rise to the level of a legal challenge? If not, is one hinted at?
Well, one is hinted at in this letter. It's simply a comment letter on a draft environmental document under the federal law NEPA and the California law, the California Environmental Quality Act. We have not decided whether we would litigate it or not, but I do believe that the program views it that way. It is a letter to both the Bureau of Reclamation, which is the federal lead agency, and the California North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, which is the state lead agency. And we're hoping that the Regional Water Board will put the brakes on it and say, hey, let's step back a little and see what's going on and spend money on other projects, again, like the watershed restoration and also a new bridge. They are proposing to put in one of these projects at the Bucktail site where it's known that a new bridge is needed. It's a major hydraulic control on the river, and yet the restoration program has basically told Trinity County that they can find their own funding for the bridge, even though the program has already paid for four other bridges.
What's the issue? Are there bridge piers in the river or something?
Yeah, the higher flows have undermined the abutments for the bridge, and at some point it will start falling into the river.
Has there been any response, official or even back channel, from either the Bureau of Reclamation or the Water Quality Control Board?
You know, I haven't had any discussions with the Bureau. I've talked to the Regional Water Board, and they're certainly looking very closely at it. Just this morning, we received a response letter from the Yurok tribe to our letter where they tried to refute a number of our claims. So, but we're waiting for a final response in the final environmental document.
Right. So Tom just mentioned the tribe. Gary Graham Hughes, we mentioned that there are something like 21 groups and individuals involved in this this letter. Who are some of those groups?
Well, there's a number of groups who are based in Humboldt County. Of course, EPIC is an organization that operates in a five-county area in Northwest California, and we have membership distributed throughout the region and the state. But some of the other groups that signed on to this letter include the North Coast Environmental Center and Friends of the Eel River, colleagues of mine right here in Humboldt County. A very important organization that signed on is the California Sports Fishing Protection Alliance, and I think that's a very important instance to notice because of the work that Bill Jennings from that organization is doing to fight the Bay Delta Conservation Plan. And we cannot talk about the Trinity River right now without talking about the Twin Tunnels project that Governor Brown and the you know, state agencies from California are promoting in the form of this Bay Delta Conservation Plan, which is essentially massive new infrastructure to pipe Northern California water south. And the shortcomings of the BDCP, as we call it, in actually analyzing what the impacts of this project would be on the Trinity River are enormous. And that is a context that can't be ignored when we're looking at the action that we're taking right now to have a harder look taken at restoration projects in the Trinity River.
Tom Stokely, given the context that Gary Graham Hughes just gave us and the fact that, for example, there were additional water releases into the Trinity last year to help the fish runs up the Klamath, I mean, you really can you just look at the rehab projects by themselves without looking at the broader context for water in the Sacramento River, water in Southern California, water in the Klamath Basin?
No, not really. These projects on the Trinity River, while there's literally tens of millions of dollars being spent and hundreds of thousands of cubic yards of earth being moved, the Bureau of Reclamation often confuses motion with progress, and so it gives the impression that the Trinity River is being restored and being protected when, in fact, it is completely at risk from excessive water diversions to the Delta and Westlands Water District south of the Delta. And we actually believe that the permitting for these restoration projects is with the National Marine Fisheries Service under the Federal Endangered Species Act is not up to par, and it actually relates to the Endangered Species Act compliance for the Bureau's continued diversions to the Central Valley. So we actually would like to link the two things together and essentially make sure that the Trinity is protected before both the twin tunnels are approved and before additional work on the Trinity resumes.
And you mentioned Westlands, which is the agency that took the extra releases last summer and fall to court. We have about a minute left here. What's the likely way ahead, Tom Stokely? What happens now?
Well, we'll see what the response is from the Regional Water Quality Control Board and the Bureau of Reclamation, whether or not they will take our suggestions and slow these projects down and do some more work in the watersheds, or whether it will escalate into a more confrontational situation. I certainly hope we can avoid the confrontation, since I've been a strong supporter of this program for 25 years, and this is not something that I do lightly.
Tom Stokely is with the California Water Impact Network, or CWIN, which is leading this effort to get a reconsideration of the channel rehabilitation projects on the Trinity River through the Trinity River Restoration Project. Gary Graham Hughes is with EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center on the North Coast. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you
so much.
You bet.